Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
everyone. Welcome back. It feels like it's been forever since this particular station was alive and well, so I hope they have everything fixed. Hello, this is Sweet PM Blog Talk Radio here on Sweet Discussions, wrapped up in a very wild world called All Poetry. Inside of that is Team of Voices, sponsored by the amazing A.P. Taylor. I would like to thank him for that. Always love to have his support. You want to jump on and talk to us, you're more than welcome. Once again, that's All Poetry. And look inside of that for Team of Voices, and you will find us, the wonderful group of poets who like to chit-chat, write poetry, and just have a lot of fun. Tonight on Sweet Discussions, we are going to talk about illusions. I was recently at a illusion museum here in Denver, Colorado. Just popped up here, and it was pretty spectacular. We had a lot of fun, me and my husband roaming around that place. It was pretty unique, size differences in paintings, you know, inside of paintings and infinity balls and mirrors and different texts that you could read and different meanings and of course magical tricks and things like that. But it was quite a fun afternoon. And then, you know, got to thinking about, things like Paul Dunbar's We Wear a Mask and the illusions that, you know, people like to put on. And even tonight's song by Shout Even Shy, written by our own Jay Hatter, illusions that we put on to people, what we say, what we don't say, how we say it, the way we say it, body language, and all those many things that we tend to do as human beings, because every day is an illusion, a perception, how we put ourselves forth to different people. Because I can guarantee you, I could be talking to, I've got people here on the phone, so I would be talking to, say, Pretty Bird about a conversation on one thing, and be very relaxed, probably say certain things that I could talk to the IEP on, and would probably never say anything about the same thing, same conversation, but my perceptions with one would be different with the other. And trust me, AP, you would never, ever want to hear the conversations I'm having with Pretty Bird about certain things. So let me say hello to these people. Hello, Pretty Bird. How are you tonight?
Hello, hello. I am happy to be here. I'm glad the studio is working.
Me too. Hello, Raconteur. How are you tonight?
I haven't been fixed.
I'm sorry to hear you were so broken. And Wayne Gent, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm here. Doing good.
I'm glad. I'm glad you're here and doing well. And AP, how are you?
Hey, I'm Melt White. How are you?
I'm good. And right behind him, I have Mr. Jay Hatter. Hello, Mr. Hatter. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm so sorry, Wayne.
I don't want to hear it.
Okay. All right. Now, what was that place called, Sweets? The House of Illusions, or what was it?
Yeah, the Illusion Museum.
Okay. Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool place. Yeah, it really was. We had a lot of fun. There was a couple places in there I couldn't go. It immediately made me ill.
Vertigo.
I could not go in, like, different room sizes, like it made you the illusion, like where you were taller or bigger, or this spatial differences. Oh, I couldn't. I immediately got sick. Or like the one, like where they spin the mirrors or it tilts immediately. Like, oh, I couldn't go in there. I'd have a seizure. Like within seconds, it'd be like, oh, yeah, no. No, not me.
Yeah,
can't go there.
That's the vertigo. Yeah, that's the vertigo.
Yeah, it was like almost like a huge like adult fun house. Yeah.
Could you take pictures?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was really cool because they had staff there that would take pictures for you. That would be like, okay, this is the optimal place for me to stand for you to get the best illusion. So they would actually have staff at different points of the museum, and they're like, okay, you stand on this space, and you stand on this space, and we'll take a picture of you. So
what was the best illusion? The best illusion.
The best illusion was we were laying on this, like, on the floorboards of this building. So when they took the picture of the boards, the illusion of pictures is you're hanging off the building. So when the pictures come out, Bob is hanging upside down on a railing, and I'm trying to grab his hand. So it literally looks like we're falling off the building.
So is that a camera trick too? I mean, camera.
Yeah,
trick
it's
set
a
up?
Camera trick. It's like a Hollywood. It's like a Hollywood camera trick.
Batman going up the side of the building.
Right.
Did they have the balls that roll
uphill? And everything like that.
Did they have the balls that roll uphill?
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, that's why we had men of cave up here. They got the same thing. And you put a ball down, it rolls uphill. And you go, wow, that's amazing.
So it's not
lines?
And
then they have a minutia picture, because if you look at a picture and you're focused only on that picture, if it's all a bunch of small things, like it was a bunch of stamps, and the mind's eye goes to the stamps, but every time you took a step back, you would see something else, and you took another step back, and you see something else, and you took another step back, you would see something else. And then finally, at the final step, you saw the face of Einstein. People tend to see the minutia. They only pay attention to what's in front of them. They rarely see the big picture of anything. So it was quite interesting to go through that process.
Yeah. Well, sweet. On that subject, is it possible for me to put my palm on the board? Because it's actually relevant to that.
Okay, that would be wonderful. Absolutely, always relevant.
It is.
Go, go, go.
Completely relevant. Here we go.
Okay.
Because this particular palm starts with a quote, which is, two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the universe, Albert Einstein.
All right.
No. This is telecommunications is IS squared. And it goes a little bit like this. Mainly the aim on the plane of phones is simply to work, no debating. Because despite all the unknowns, a phone is for communicating. But no, not in Australia, it would seem. To start first to hand over data, allowed security holes to scream until extortionists the price barter. Not satisfied with personal information, they then tried to update their software, only to find the angst of a nation when their service wasn't there. Not for 1 hour, no, for 14. While the backbone descended at 4, no sight of company was seen until called, but no time to restore. The explanation was said too complex. And now there's an exodus of accounts. For corporate malfeasance effects, infinitely here the stupidity mounts. In
palm. What? What? There's a problem?
What happened?
Nobody's there to fix it?
Second largest telecommunication provider in Australia. They did a software update on Wednesday at 4 a.m. in the morning, and they lost everything. Not just the phones.
Oh,
they lost the data. God. They lost the internet. Lost everything. And then it took them 8 hours to come out and admit that they had a problem when everybody didn't have reception, right? That's fairly obvious.
Oh,
you know,
no.
A problem, right? 8 hours. And then they didn't know how long it was going to take them to restore it. And so finally, 6 hours later after that, some of the services started coming back up again. Meanwhile, I was stupid enough to have a phone with this provider. And I had nothing. Absolutely zippo for about...
Oh, my God. Goodness.
15 hours. Nothing. No messages.
So,
nothing. Yes.
Okay. Imagine that. 16 hours without technology.
I know. I know. Really annoyed me. Have I got that across yet? Have I really got that across yet?
I mean, how do we live with ourselves? Did you read a book? Pet a dog?
Hey, I wrote
what
a...
did you do?
No. Sweet, I'll tell you exactly what I did. I walked 300 meters up the road to where my friend lives, who I knew had a Telstra mobile phone, and I actually Bluetoothed off his service for 3 hours.
Oh, okay. Because you couldn't just not be without technology.
No, that's exactly right.
First off, I love your poem. I love that, you know, we have A, because I think it goes to a bigger picture, we have the illusion that we're always going to have it, but God forbid something happened that we don't, because how many of us are actually prepared for it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not.
No,
we're
not. No,
I mean,
no,
well,
I
we're not.
No.
I mean, I would have no idea what to do if all of a sudden we were cut off from each other. I mean, how in God's blessed earth would we ever talk? I mean, we'd have to go back to telegrams or telegraphs or anything like that.
Yep.
But, I mean, what is that? The EPM or EP, whatever it is, that shuts off all the electricity that we're all worried about that's going to fall out of the sky. I don't know what that weapon is.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. That's crazy. But I loved the whole attitude of your poem, the whole attitude of your reading of the poem. I thought that was great. But, yeah, how bloody stupid are they all? That was great. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on the frustrations of poor AP this week?
You know, I think it only bothers me when I'm in the middle of doing something. So, yeah, like if you had to work and you had to do this and you had to do that, or you had to make a phone call or check in on somebody, absolutely annoying as all get out. But, Sweet, when you said, what would we ever do? Well, to communicate, I'm not much of a people person, believe it or not. And I'm sitting there going, well, I make yarn and I crochet things and I'm an old lady and I had to suss out how to make a fancy new stitch to make a scarf for somebody. And I'm just all, yeah, who needs technology? I'm fine here in my loneliness. It's okay. But yeah, no, I don't know what I would do without all access to the internet at some point, you know, maybe not necessarily on my phone, but the internet itself, you know, where I can at least email my frustrations to the masses. But yeah, no, if I'm out and about and I live by cows. So if I'm out and about and my service is intermittent and it just goes off, I lose my mind. I lose my mind because there's no rhyme or reason. There's no warning. I can be literally next to a cell phone tower, but across the street there's cows, and for some reason it just doesn't mix. And I'm just like, I have no service. I'm like 2 feet away from the actual thing, and I have no service. So I could not imagine. Yeah, 14 hours of that kind of ridiculous frustration for no reason whatsoever. You know,
that's it.
Like
you got it.
You would think that their IT department would know that they're updating and keep an eye on things.
Yep.
I'm
you'd
just
hope.
Saying.
You'd hope. Yeah.
I like the fact that nobody admitted it. That's more my like, oh, cover up. We gotta assume. Look like we knew what
that's
we
exactly
were doing. It's not Watergate, people. You're not Trump.
Well,
and
but then everybody was asking for an explanation, and they said, we can't give it to you because it's too hard for you all. You wouldn't understand. I'm like, give us a go.
It was a planned outage.
It was a planned outage.
No. Anyway. Yeah.
Wayne, your thoughts.
Oh, this is right by alley right here. This is where I've been through many nightmares. Me and my brother owned a communication company for 14 years. And one time we was at a place that's called Stonewall Realty in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Had 110 realtors. We changed their system out on the weekend. We put out and bound all the cabinets, put out the phones, turned it on, and the processor didn't come up. And they had all these closings to do Monday. We sat there probably all day Saturday normally, and then Sunday evening we was there. We scratched our heads, but what are we going to do? Can't get a processor until Tuesday. I got mad and hard, slapped the side of the cabinet, and it came up.
Good Lord.
Day to day. And it was 9 o'clock Sunday night. We hurried up and got done that training Monday morning. It was a nightmare, but I could have cried. But we stepped inside the cabin and went beep, came right up. I said, oh, my God, what's that all about? So we got saved. I've been in several of those predicaments in my 14 years on communications. So I don't want no more.
That's funny.
14 years of communications and you had a Fonzie it.
I probably just got out of it.
Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can dig the frustration you, as you wrote AP, but I wrote I was talking to this guy at a coffee shop years ago, and we were talking about the internet and the phone signal. What would happen if it went down for an undetermined amount of time and ended up being days? And the description we came up with was priceless. It's like you have people in the fetal position in the corner going through withdrawals. You have people running down the street, the world coming to an end. I tell you what, it would be a bigger thing than I think anybody realizes. The generations behind us, they actually need the phone.
I'm with you all the way. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Just getting away.
And Rack, your thoughts.
You know, you're saying what would you do for that amount of time? I guess it depends on what you get paid to do, and what day of the week it is too. But You know, I imagine your poem would have been longer if it was out for 14 hours. It didn't take you 14 hours to write that, did it?
No, but, not true enough, right?
That was only part one, right? But seriously, you know, our dependence on technology is crazy. And what's even crazier, you know, in the field, when I would do repairs and things, a lot of my fixes came from knowing what came before. It's like when you look at what's broken sometimes, you have to understand the process that it needs that it's going through and where it's failing. And the only way to know that is to know how it does what it does, which usually involves knowing the way it worked before you got to that point. So, you know, sometimes you got to deconstruct it to get back to that point to figure out where it's failing. So, you know, it's months of you know, well, what did they do before telephones, you know, and can you survive it? They've targeted technology in warfare. The Stutz virus is one of the very first ones affected the Iranian nuclear program for like 2 years. And it physically caused devices to break. It threw their nuclear cyclotrons off balance and made them kind of blow up. So, you know, that was a product of the Israeli intelligence and I forget who they worked with to develop that. But yeah, and the scary thing is, you know, again, technology. The area that they targeted was supposed to be what they call air gapped, which means there's no outside access. But somehow that virus got out. So you know, it's a scary thing. Technology is you know, we're so dependent on it. You know, some people don't know how to do, you know, without it. And to the point that, you know, look at just writing a simple letter. You know, people don't know how to do that anymore. It's like you're trying to get in touch with someone. It's like, well, why don't you write them a letter? You know, they don't teach cursive anymore in school, so the kids won't even be able to do that sometimes.
They can't sign their names on a contract, so I don't think we can do contracts anymore. But now they can do that on a computer, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Beatles on you, not.
I know.
Anyway, that's all I had, Sweet. I haven't had that.
I thought it was brilliant. Sorry. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sticking around or are you heading out?
I'm going back because I've had a ridiculously quick trip to Sydney and I've had a dentist throw four local anesthetics in my mouth, and so I'm going back to have a rest. Yes.
Okay. We'll go rest. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Stick around if you've got time. Thanks. Hang out. Do what you got to do. But I'm going to read my little mystery of illusion. So this is us.
It's
mystery
thing.
Plumage. Thank you.
Goodbye, AP.
Bye, AP. This is Mystery Plumage by me. And then we'll be done with all that crap. By the way, this is one of my favorite artists here. Blackbirds sing me a lover's song, melting in rough layers. I fall into softest down as I float into his arms. Earth's rough kiss pecks my lips, blood spills upon my face. You lap it up and last. Blackbirds sing a song as we fly entwined and spin and dive in blurs of kaleidoscope-colored spirals. Reaching undeniable heights of pleasure rising far past Earth's rim to plunge and rise again until his sea is dry. Blackbird, sing me a lullaby as we rest in eagle's nest. Again, our colors stir into the sounds of ocean waves. As lovers, we fly circles above the moon. The mystery of flying plume shall confuse stargazers and inspire songwriter tunes. Blackbird, sing me a sadder song, the moon leaving us. Cradle thy head in my breast, knowing my body's thoughts. Hold them tight as the morning shade forces our descent. our molten feathers fly in blackened warm skies. Barefoot I stand, forever you are burned in my skin. Vein stretched out into trees, safe place for you I shall be. Onyx feathers fall as I weep, birds gather in my grief. The spirits will lift you again, be grateful that you flew. Sing to me, blackbird, sing. End poem.
Okay. So I'm going to try to pretend that you didn't just kill birds, and I'm not offended, it's fine. But I love this.
I didn't kill the bird.
Well, you know, it's this is beautiful and very sensual and very visceral, and it's lovely. You know, there is beautiful and there is a bit of broken, you know, and I kind of think broken is beautiful because I tend to be a little twisted that way. But sing me a lover's song. I fall into the softest down as I float into his arms. Earth's rough kiss pecks my lips. Blood spills upon my face and you lap it up and laugh. That's a little rockabye baby, you know, watch the bell break in the cradle I fall, which has always disturbed me, by the way. But there is something just visceral about this, you know? And the way you describe that lover's dance of birds, the spinning, the diving, the colors, if you've ever watched birds actually do that, you know, it's because they're not flying as they're plunging. They have to, like, you know, be paying attention while paying attention to other things to not fall to their death. But it's really beautiful. It is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And after all of that beautiful dance, it's singing to sleep, you know? And I miss being sung to sleep. I used to be sung to sleep a lot. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I just love this. I do. Sing me a sadder song, the moon leaving us. You know what? You know I'm all up in my feels right about now. I'm just saying. So I'm going to go to Rack. What are your thoughts?
Well, thank you, first off, because it is. Birds always look like they're fighting or dying or they're fighting such a force when they're actually in moments of love and mating. And they really look like they're defying death. And I think it's one of these great illusions that you know, they're where it's love and passion, and it looks like death and horror to some people as they're literally plummeting to earth. And it's just that illusion that sometimes, you know, we think people that are in love are actually some of the worst people, and then people that are actually, you know, are truly sometimes fighting and yelling and screaming at each other are actually in throes of passion. So I think it's always an illusion with love. You never know what you're seeing or what you're doing. It's really between those two people. And I think birds are a representation of, you know, what love is always an illusion to the outside people. It's only known between the people that are involved.
And sometimes that's a bit of a story too. So why I hate spring, my house, the windows on the east side of my house are very, very reflective, and I always get male birds for about 3 months out of the year. Right as the sun starts to set, it catches there for some reason in some kind of way that they think that they are their mate, and they fly into my windows. They get stunned. Nobody's ever died. But they were just a boom. I'm like, one of these days, these birds are going to fly right through my window. But it's every single year, and it, A, breaks my heart, and B, drives me nuts. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's its own kind of illusion. No, sweetheart, that's not a female. That's just you.
Yeah.
And I, you know. So, Rock and Tour, your thoughts.
So what I was going to say, Sweepy kind of elaborated on before I could say it, you know, when we watch things and look at things that aren't human, we tend to personify them. And, you know, our methods of you know, showing passion are different from, you know, say, a cat's, because, you know, biting on the scruff of the neck works for some of us, but doesn't work for others of us. So, you know, the differences are stark sometimes, but sometimes they're subtle. And you know, watching the birds is a beautiful example of, you know, no, sweetie, that's not what he's doing. You know? oh, no. no, I can't. It's not Sunday. Never mind. Yes. Anyways, I can't.
I enjoyed
your piece. I enjoyed your piece because, you know, like you say, even as a metaphor, you know, when two people are kissing and the blood and there's blood, you know, that's not just necessarily an illusion of what you're seeing with your eyes. It's a show sometimes, or even like Pretty Bird said, it's her field. You know, it's a psychological thing. You know, some people do it for the reaction that they get. You know, they'll reach out and they'll touch you with their hand because they know, because of that touch, that someone's going to react differently than if they didn't. And you know, it's all kind of a conjured, you know, show, a manipulative thing. So, yeah, watching birds is can be confusing, but
yes,
still relatable.
Thank you.
Oh, so true.
Great.
And how are your thoughts?
Call. Yeah, it reminded me of McCartney, you know, Blackbird singing in the dead of the night. But the that was a great reference when you were talking about the eagles, right? Isn't it the eagles that interlock their claws, talons, and fall to the earth?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good good metaphor through there. Onyx feathers, I thought was a good line. Onyx don't have feathers, do they? Or you just call it the color?
The color.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Funny.
I took pain meds earlier, so.
Well, then you ought to be a riot. Don't do that. All right.
And Wayne, what do you think?
I think this is a wonderful poem. It's got a lot of metaphors in it, but it's got a lot of great phrases in it. Like, when she started, I said, Earth's rough kiss, pecks my blood spills on my face as you lap it up and laugh. I thought that was a wonderful line. And then you got that kind of sensual one down through there and went, cradle of my head and my breath, know my body, my thoughts, hold them tight as the morning shade forth my descent. That ain't sensual, ain't nothing sensual. That was great. And then it kind of sad when he said, Onyx feathers fall as I weep, birds gather in my grief. The spirit will lift you again. Be grateful that you flew. That's a wonderful point line there. We should be grateful for what we have and not take it for granted. So sing to me, please, Blackbird. And birds are watching, not mimicking. And if it was what it was, I'd be a hummingbird. It's a great poem.
Oh, thank you. All right. Pretty Bird, would you put yours up there, please? And then I'm going to have Wayne read, and then I'm going to have Hatter read.
Okay. Sorry, there is a lag today. Okay, so I am up on the board. And this is Alpha and Omega. It's a short one. It goes like this. At that imperceptible moment when beginning meets end, and the universe dies at one's birth, fear disappears in the unity of all that was and all that will ever be, birthed in infinity at the instant of both death and life. We are the same, bonded through infinitesimal spaces where the beginning is the end is the beginning. And Paul.
Wow. I like that because it goes so much with the picture of the infinity of the infinity of the infinity of the infinity. Where do we begin and where do we end? Or do we ever end? Or do we ever have the beginning? This is beautiful. Wow. This is a very difficult time of the year for me because I deal with a lot of anniversaries of deaths, my mother's, my father's, my father-in-law's, all within this last week. I will tell you a very quick story about my eldest son, or my youngest son. He has this very scientific mind, and he believes that we are energy, and energy cannot die. So as a person that you love actually passes away, you absorb parts of their energy. They give forth what their love and their knowledge to people that they love. So their energy is absorbed into us, which means that from what they know and what they've learned, they absorb into the next generation, which is how mankind continues to evolve. So when I die, my love and energy will absorb into him and into my grandson and so on and so forth. So this, to me, is kind of like that. That's why we are and always will be, because as energy, we don't die. So it just reminds me of that point in that we are the beginning, the end is the beginning, because energy cannot ever die. So I really like how that fits his world. It's just kind of brilliant.
Awesome.
Raconteur, your thoughts.
You know, I like that you use a brevity to describe like the two furthest points, the beginning and the end. But, you know, I guess, you know, the coming together being the point of the poem. So, yeah, it all fits mathematically. And you know why I'm saying that. I like,
but they're,
you know,
not the furthest. They're the closest together.
The alpha and the omega is the beginning and the end.
Yes. So
right.
When something ends, something else begins. But there's never an ending or a beginning, because it's the tiniest of tiniest, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and it never stops, so they never touch. But when something ends, something else begins. So they're as close as you can be, but never really touching.
Right.
Okay, to me that's as far apart as you can get, but I don't know.
Okay, you got to look at it this way. You got to look at it this way, Rack. How far apart is an open and closed window?
Is a what? Is an open closed window?
How far apart is an open and closed window?
I don't understand.
Okay, at the beginning of an end, if you shut or open a door, how far apart is that space? It's the same as the beginning of an end. You open a door, you shut a door. You open it, you shut it. Beginning and end. Same concept.
One or the other, yeah.
But open is the exact opposite of closed.
Beginning is the exact opposite of the end.
So it was partially open. Perception.
Yeah, it's just a perception. Right? Yeah. It's you can never have a fully open door, and you can never have a fully closed door.
Oh.
They can never be the same. You either have a fully open door or a fully closed door. But there's no dimension in between.
Let me
put it this way, Rack. It's not the beginning and the end of the same thing. It's the beginning and the end of two things that are linear, and therefore, you know, it's not that closed circle of this started and then it finished. It's because this finished, something else is going to start. So it's at that union that never touches that poem lives.
Pandora's box.
Sure,
I know what.
Something
I need
started
to...
on Pandora's box. Pandora's a bitch.
Okay, I'm going to let Deb in, and unfortunately she's going to have to read and run. And then we're going to go back to tormenting Rack. Hey, Deb, how are you?
Oh, I'm going to miss all the fun. Why are you tormenting Rack?
Because it's an alpha omega beginning and ending poem that I'm getting comments on for Pretty Bird. So if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Wayne to give his comment.
Oh, no, yeah, please do.
I'm away.
Okay. You ready? I said, okay. I said, wow, this is deep. An instant of both death and life, we are the same. That's what I have to talk about. Energy cannot be destroyed. In physics, they teach you energy cannot be destroyed. It can be altered, but it can't be destroyed. I feel when we pass from death to life, from life to death, our souls, is the energy that it releases from our body, it goes to another dimension. I think it goes either heaven or hell or whatever the other dimensions are out there. I think it's where the dimensions come from. But and then there's also the question of reincarnation. Like you used, I was talking about, it can go back into another person and enrich it, make it smarter or better. So that's another story too, reincarnation. But energy cannot be destroyed, and we all, when we die, there's a certain amount of energy that leaves our body, that we even lose weight. So there's something that goes somewhere and it can't be destroyed. It has to be a dimension somewhere else to, because it can't be destroyed according to physics. So it's a great point, and it's real deep, and it'd be hard to talk about in 15 minutes, but it needs a couple hours to discuss it. Great job.
I agree. I would agree with you. And Hatter, your thoughts?
I thought I did. I thought I edited.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I know you were part of the conversation. I just want to make sure I got them all.
Okay. Mine was the perception, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure we got them all. Okay, Deb, you want to throw yourself up on that board? Just run and
she's
slap
already there.
We're good.
Well, thank you. But, I was just reading Pretty Bird's Brevity, too. Like, how brilliant is that? The beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning, and it's just one big twisted alpha and omega. I love the picture that you did. This was an awesome representation of an illusion there. What is the beginning? What is the end? Birth and infinity. Very cool. Let me go back to the board.
Thanks so much.
Okay. All right. This is called, is a smile an optical illusion used to get your guard down? And here we go. Smiles dressing faces can be smoke and mirrors. Sugar-coated grins are worn just to shaft the brain, knocking down stone walls and unlocking doors, but smiles can trigger red blood streaming icy in veins. Sugar-coated grins are worn just to shaft the brain, present like recipe for security. With swagger. But smiles can trigger red blood streaming icy in the veins. With guard down, smile wearers stab in their dagger. Presented like a recipe for security with swagger, you exhale and in turn revealing your back. With guard down, smile wearers stab in their dagger, slashing you to pieces with a clobbered whack. You exhale and then turn, revealing your back, knocking down stone walls and unlocking doors. Slashing you to pieces with a clobbered whack, smiles dressing faces can be smoke and mirrors. End poem.
Wow. I like that. Presented like a recipe for security with swagger, you exhale and then turn, revealing your back with guard down, smile wearer stab, their dagger slashing you to pieces with a clobbered whack. Ooh. Let's hope not all smile wearers. But, yeah, you got to beware. Sometimes, you know, charmers like to be like, that's why they call them snake charmers, because they can smile, they can charm the snake out of anybody. And I like this. I like it a lot because you never know. You know, I think that's why we have the hair on the back of our necks that can rise. You know, and this guy's freaky as hell. I that picture's freaking me out, and I don't like it because I'm just waiting for him to, like, ugh. He almost looks like he's a snake, like he'd slither at you anyway. But, yeah. God, he's disgusting. That picture's killing me. Screw the words on your poem. You got to get rid of that picture.
Right. No, that worked perfectly because he's not quite a snake. He's actually a vampire from that Twilight series.
Right.
And, you know.
I know who he is.
I thought it was perfect for this, man.
Yeah. Because, you know, when they're going to slash and gash you, and vampires are known for that romantic look and that eye, and I've got the world for you, and maybe I'll make you one of me, but basically I'm just going to rip your throat out and just guzzle it down because that's what I want to do. And this is true. You never know, because all of us have been bitten by one, every single one of us. And sometimes, though, you know, it's better to have that class than it's okay to have our scars from being kind versus our you know, our slashes from being the ones with the daggers. I'd rather have a scar from kindness. And I think that's
true. And my sweet, you are a class act.
Yeah, I'll take my scars from kindness. I think that's what I'm trying I'm trying to know as I get older in life that it's better to have scars from kindness than wounds from knife fights in the street. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Thank you much.
I concur that moving smile is uber creepy, and I can't look at it either. I just cannot. But I am amused, because this just goes back to my theory that Dracula is Prince Charming. And, yes, so I never trust the Charmer because of that exact thing, because they are described the same exact way, all gentlemanly and debonair and handsome and whatever. Yeah, no, shut up. Don't talk to me. Go away. I ain't looking at you. You ain't that cute. Be gone. But I love this. And you can't write a poem like this without being on the wrong side of that thwack. And it's an unfortunate thing, but I don't know. I mean, I feel this very much, because you want to trust. Okay, I don't, because I don't people well. But you want to trust people. You would like to think that people are inherently trustworthy on some level, you know, because you can't go around thinking everybody's an idiot and a liar, because then you'd never leave your house, you know, the birth of agoraphobia. But you would like to think that if nothing else, that you would get what you get back, what you give out. You would, in a perfect world, if you're nice to people, they'll be nice to you. I mean, but unfortunately, as we all know, sometimes people just suck. But it's a lesson that you have to learn. It doesn't matter how many times you're told, until you learn that lesson for yourself, you can't really begin to learn it. It's kind of like I can explain love to somebody all day long, and they can think they know what love is, but the first time they fall hard for no reason whatsoever, it's going to catch them off guard, and they don't know until they know. And that's like this. And there's only two choices to me when you get gutted. You either change yourself to try to protect yourself for that, or you refuse to let them change you and risk having that done again. And that there isn't a whole lot of middle ground there. And I think that what we glean from that is the discernment on who we trust. And, or not, because I tend to be the fool anyway. I mean, as crusty as I may seem, I am all soft underbelly. And so I'm constantly in the thwacking, you know, and God forbid I like show my teeth and then I'm the horrible one, but whatever, it's fine. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Amazing comment. Thank you.
And Wayne, your thoughts.
Yes. I said a smile can change an evil person's attitude. Whatever the reason for a smile, I'd rather see a smile than a frown. With a smile, you have to look in their eyes, because eyes don't lie. And it's not going to be fake. I mean, you know it's not going to be fake if you ever talk to a used car salesman. And I'm not going to mention the young lady who smiles at you. That's a death sign. So, well, you got to watch out for the smiles, I like to say. But yeah, I just see a smile then a frown. Good job there, Deb.
Thank you, Wayne. That was an excellent example. I totally concur. And real quick, on a side note, Wayne, that poem you sent me is still sticking with me, and I just wanted to say you're my hero.
Oh, well, that's kind of, it was about to get it by me.
Aww. And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I get an awe to this. how many times are we dependent on the reaction of others around us?
Too often.
Like,
especially when they're
like to the extreme of, did he say what I just thought he said? To you missed it, and you only pay attention or not pay attention because of how what you know people around you are reacting.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
And as far as the masks we wear, sometimes it's a small or large one. It doesn't matter what kind it looks. Sometimes it's a small one rather than a large one. And then putting your guard down, I mean, how many times that's sort of connected to where you weren't alerted the first time because of nobody else reacted, whether you know them or not.
Yeah.
If you made, you know, very, it's deep, very good.
Thank you, Hatter.
You're welcome, sis.
All right.
Oh, now the picture's moving.
Yeah, now the picture's moving.
Oh, Jesus.
That's freaky, isn't it?
Well, I'm not going
back
to it.
I love you, my classy sweet. I got to go.
All right.
See you, Deb.
All right. Wayne, we are going to listen to you now. Wayne.
Okay, this is about illusion. This is all about illusion, so hope you enjoy it.
All right, we ready to
hit
the button?
Get him up there. Not yet.
I'm always used to it. I'm used to you being ahead of me.
I know, right? But I forgot who was next.
Wayne.
Okay, he's up.
All right, here we go.
It's the same picture I got.
This is called Our Minds, Our Mental. Our minds will try to limit confusion. We all like events to have a conclusion. All problems should have a solution. If not, we may experience an illusion. What we see may not be what is real. A lot of details depend on how we feel. Mind can play tricks on our perception, which in turn can cause deception. The deception can easily confuse and distract. Our thoughts control how we react. It's hard to figure out what is false or true. Even our minds can have a foggy view. When the truth is found, it's easy not to believe. Our minds have already begun to deceive. We lose our ability to properly conceive, and the truth we will not ever achieve. Illusions can cause mental confusion. Confusion can lead to the wrong conclusion. Wrong conclusions may create a delusion, which aid in making the wrong decision. Ian?
Yeah. This is great. Our minds are mental, aren't they? I don't know if my mind actually tries to limit its confusion, though. Sometimes I think it likes to run me in confusion, but I like to think that maybe it does. Deception can easily confuse and distract. Our thoughts control how we react. I agree with that. That's a lot of fight or fright and all that kind of good stuff. Illusions can cause mental confusion. Confusion may lead to wrong conclusion. Wrong conclusions. They create a delusion, which can aid in making the wrong decision. Very much so. This is really good. It's got a lot of great advice in it and kind of a mastery of what we really need to make sure we're aware of, especially when we get ourselves in situations where we really need to keep ourselves together and not be going crazy. Very well done. I really enjoyed
Thank
this
you.
One, Wayne. Freebird,
you.
Your thoughts?
And there, I thought you were saying not be going to West Virginia, but I guess not. Okay. And so, oh, my goodness. All right. Wayne, you are killing me. My mental is in a mess of exactly what you were describing with deception and all of this stuff. The problem is that people, like I said a little while ago, sometimes just suck, and not even on purpose, because everybody thinks of deception as just out and out lies for it to hurt people, to hide stuff, yada yada, blah blah blah, which I guess it is, but then he has to factor in people sometimes don't want to face their own nonsense, and it's easier to shut that down, which is also a deception. So if they're shutting down, we're left to without all the facts that then we're the ones accidentally jumping to the conclusion based on what people show us, that even though they may not have lied, they have not showed us the truth. Therefore, it feels like something else. And through nobody's fault, I mean, you can't really fault somebody for being up their own butt. You know, sometimes people get depressed. It happens. I self-isolate. Nobody's perfect. But it there's, how do you know where you stand? How can you then gauge what they need for you to help them if they're not sharing anything? And so that whole last thing, you know, it can cause mental confusion and then wrong conclusions and then delusions, and then you're the asshole because you read them wrong, but they didn't give you anything to go on. And that right now is where I am living. So thanks, because now I feel all naked and seen, and it's not even Sunday.
We should all be willing to admit that we're wrong sometimes and have the open mind so you can see what somebody's saying and know that you could be wrong. That's what most people mess up, but they believe they're right and they're not going to change their mind. And that's what kills people.
But if nobody's giving you anything to go on until you're already jumped to the wrong conclusion because you go through all the things in your head, they can't really, they're not, they then, by that same token, they shouldn't fault you for being wrong.
That's true.
But they do, you know?
Do.
I mean, because human nature is everybody is all, well, you know me well enough, you should have known, should not exist. How am I supposed to know how deep into the abyss you are if you don't talk to me? I said, I know you're out of it, but I don't know how far out of it you are if you don't give me a little hint. You know, throw me a bone, give me a vowel, something.
Right. I know I'm always right.
Buy a vowel.
Phone a friend.
Oh my God.
All the lifelines all at once.
Adder, your thoughts
about awesomeness.
Yeah, what you're just saying, as far as the news, I think there should be penalties, fines for calling yourself a news agency and reporting a false narrative knowingly. You could be wrong, but you know, that would be obvious. But I think jail time also, if you rely on a pump for the information, the truth, if you're lying to us and get caught, I think you should be penalized or fined. I think that's a position of politicians now with the power. But as far as the poem, I got a Hatter quote for you, that there are limits to our realities beyond the those parameters lies chaos, and that's where the genius is.
That's true.
Genius used to be an imp, something outside of ourselves that was more than a muse. But that was, you know, before my time.
And back to your thoughts.
You know, to me, it's all in the presentation. When you're talking an illusion, it's your perception. So someone could try and skew it and say, you know, well, these two items are 50% off, but because I like you, I'll let you buy one and get the second one for free. You know, I just said the same thing, but. You know, I'm giving you the illusion of a better deal by you know, rearranging the way that it looks. It's confusing as fuck. But it gets confusing. But you know, and you know, even along the lines of what you know, the news media is does too. They intentionally slant it in a way and lead you down the path knowingly. Without knowing all the facts sometimes and trying to spin the narrative in the direction that they want you to take it, you know? So it's kind of up to us to decide what we're going to swallow and what we're not. Even when you're talking about somebody smiling at you, you know, it's like, are they smiling because they want to hide behind the smile or because they want to pretend that they're your friend? There's two different ways to interpret it. And it all goes down to their intentions and what they're trying to achieve. So it's duplicitous and manipulative, but you know, it's up to us to try and weed through, you know, how we're going to react to it. If we're going to sit there and not judge until we've got all the facts, or you know, if we can even be certain, because that's not always the case either. So it's a confusing thing.
There's a lot of half truths out there. There's a lot of half truths where you just hear the half that's true, and then only the other half. So you got to watch what you listen to and hard to hear.
Like they're a buck a piece, but you got to buy 10.
Ain't that the truth? All right, now it is Hatter's turn to read.
You're on the board, Hatter.
All right. This will be interesting. There it is. Called Stacked as Isosceles Cubes. And I got the same picture. When things turn up sitting down, standing still, it spins around, closely watching as it flies on by, dimensional chaos tricks the eye. Going forward to repeat the past, picking up stardust to keep as stash, looking for things that die off in spring, then grows in vacuum glass tubes, telling the tales that never fails, stacked as isosceles cubes. It always lies as in its disguise, believing there's nothing to fear, never before, behind foreshortened doors, has it ever been perfectly clear? Confusion.
I like how you took that. Actually, I like where you took that. I thought that was pretty brilliant.
Thank you.
I like the fact that I oscillate cubes. That was pretty cool. When things turn up, sitting down, standing still, she spins around. Perfect rhyme, as always, telling the tales that never fails, stacked as life's cues. It always lies as in disguise, believing there's nothing to fear. Do we believe there's nothing to fear? I don't know about that. I always think there's something to fear. That's my biggest problem. Brilliantly done, Mr. Hatter. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's where my mind gravitated to. It always lies as in its disguise, believing there's nothing to fear. And that's, and all I hear is, trust me.
Yes.
And if you have to tell me to trust you, I inherently will not. Never have I trusted anyone that says, oh, it'll work out. Trust me. No, thank you. That sounds like a jinx. It ain't going to happen. Now my guard is up. My little hairs are all standing on end. And now I have to watch out for everything. But there's a bit of wistfulness in this. And maybe it's just the way you read, because I like it when you're a little bit wistful. There's like a sadness in the knowing that sometimes people suck. That must be the theme of today for me. It's, you know, going forward to repeat the past. You know, and you pick up, you're hopeful, you pick up that stardust, you know, you're like, it's just, but then it's lies, it's all lies, because
lies,
exactly. And the thing is, and I still have to explain this to so many grown-ass people, a lie of omission is still a lie if you let me believe something that is untrue. If you knowingly let me believe that, then you are still a liar. That is dishonest. Well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, exactly. You know, like it's not okay. Like if you see somebody choking or whatever, and you don't at least call 911, even if you don't want to talk to the person, you just sit there and watch them die. Well, you know, complacency is a bad thing sometimes. I'm just saying. And
but they didn't ask for help.
Yeah, right? And I'm just like, yeah, no, that's not the way the world needs to be working. So, yeah, this is a little heartbreaking, you know. And that first stanza, that closely watching as it flies on by, dimensional chaos tricks the eye, and that is true. Things in mirror may be closer than they appear. Things may not be quite as they seem. And so is your guard up all the time, or do you just let things play out, you know? How much do you want to invest in knowing somebody at that point? You know, it's probably why as we get older, we have fewer actual friends. because we've had enough of the nonsense and the shenanigans, and I know these people, I'm good. So, yeah, it's a lot to think about. It was lovely.
I agree.
Thank you.
And
thank you, everybody. Chaos.
Wayne, your thoughts.
Yeah, if the eyes can confuse you, like Sweet was saying in the beginning of the show, I have seen drawings that confuse you as you watch it. You can't believe everything you see, especially with new technology. You may see someday see yourself walking down the street. What are you going to do, yell at yourself? This is decides if it's you or not. It may be a true illusion if you think it's not you, not you, and that thing is you. So you got to watch out what you see, because it may be an illusion. Good job, Airhead.
And the energy comment, Sweet, that you made, was it, you said, was it Deborah that said, or was it you, your brother thinks that?
Energy
just converts. It cannot die. It converts into, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very easy.
Does that change our reality at all?
I don't know. I just kind of what he believes that that's how man has continued to grow and grow and grow.
What about, so it's consciousness. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The energy is conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to know that they say that you have to go to hell or no hell before you can get to heaven. Wouldn't it be nice when we get to heaven?
Right.
They've already been there.
You know, maybe we are in heaven now. We just don't know it.
Oh, we're in purgatory.
Yeah, or something like that.
I'm in a mood. Excuse me.
Yes.
Thank you.
They say
the
soul weighs 21 grams. You know, that the difference between being alive and being dead is 21 grams of, I don't know, excess gas, whatever the heck, the difference between.
Yeah, I read the thing on the doctor that weighed it. He dealt with terminal people, and those that volunteered were able to die on a scale, a very accurate scale. And when after death,
yeah, I know it's very.
That sounds heavy to me. That sounds
heavy.
No.
I was like, what was that, Wayne?
I always read that it was about two grams, not 21 grams, but 21 grams is almost an ounce. That'd be a lot of weight you lose if you're so with 20. I mean, that's going to die. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be kind of heavy to me.
Those thoughts must be heavy.
Yep.
But there was evidence of a body being lightened after death.
Oh, yeah, it is, for sure.
Yes,
many
every
bodies.
Single time.
That's huge. That's huge. They do say that the internet weighs as much as a plum, something of that size, that the internet does weigh that. So however they figure that out, it's got to be along the same lines.
That's where calculus comes in, and I don't do calculus.
Yeah, I don't do any of that myself.
Yeah, quantum calculus, which makes no sense.
Something like that.
Sure do.
All right.
Get all tingly inside.
All right, is that my last poem I have up?
Yes.
Right here. Are you going to read it?
No, there's right, but for Frank, I didn't put Frank's up. I forgot he was there. Sorry, Frank. I'm putting you up right now. My eyes are just bothering me today. I'm like, I got through my own.
All right. Okay. I was wondering. All right.
What you been looking at?
Oh, maybe Wayne will read it. Oh, I just put Hatter back up there. My bad.
That would be an illusion if I did it.
I will do the honors.
Where's the point at? Where's the point?
I put the wrong one up.
It's delusional.
One second.
Would you like to read it? It's a guy poem, so I try to get a guy to read it. But if you don't want to, I will read it, Wayne.
I need to look and see how big the words are before I try to read somebody's poem. I want to take one glance at it, and I'll read it if I can. There it is.
All right, it's on the board now, yeah.
That's right. Oh, no, not Frank. It's killed me.
Hey, guess who that is? Guess who that is? I know who that is. That's the Hatter Man.
What? Roger Waters.
Everybody got it?
I got it.
And who's reading?
I believe I am.
Okay.
What is perceived as art is not always the image of absolute embodiment. If we look through its prism of colors, we would see beyond its abstract beauty. It is through art and through art only that we can aspire to be an semblance of perfection. Life was never meant to be so easily understood by human mind. The things that we perceive as real are at times nothing more than a replica of our imaginations. Art is no different, except that we represent whatever we conceive of its ultimate meaning. Truths are only relevant when they are proven to be irrefutable and score upon and correspond to our reality. No great artist ever sees things as they really are, and if he did, he would cease to be an artist. There is a simplicity that exceeds the notion of complexity, and that is called common sense. Perfection is misunderstood illusion, for that's the oldest illusion of art and poem.
You're supposed to laugh.
I like this. No, not this one. I don't think this is the last. I don't think this calls for the, and I can't do that anyway. But I believe my comment stands. It's the poem represents incredible insight, for art is in the eye of the beholder, and every eye sees something that fits their life. And I think that's quite the thoughts to ponder, and I appreciate you bringing that, Frank. That was a very good illusion of art. Very well done. Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
Okay, I am not to play devil's advocate. I think that there is a lot of truth in this. But between truths are only relevant when they are proven to be irrefutable and correspond to our reality. A, our reality is just a perception and everybody sees things differently. But this line, no great artist ever sees things as they are. If he did, he would cease to be an artist. I am in direct opposition of that in my thoughts. It's a lovely notion that all creativity is wonderful imagination and all of this stuff, and it may be, but that doesn't mean that that is not honest. That doesn't mean that it's not true. That doesn't mean that a poem that bleeds isn't beautiful, and that can be all the truth there is and all its stark-bladed reality, and that is still art. So that line, no great artist ever sees things as they are. As a poet true to oneself, we have to see it in all of its rawness and still find it beautiful. And that kind of vision is also what makes art. It's not that this is inherently
right.
Wrong to me. It's that it can be more than just that. Now, a normal logic of, you know, daily life outside of art, you know, reality is what we see, what we touch, how we perceive things. And there's nobody
right.
that can tell me the way I see things are wrong. Nobody can tell me to tell you the way you see things are wrong. We'd be looking at the same thing and see different things in it. This
well,
is why me and my sister fight all the time. Well, that's true. But this is why me and my sister, we argue all the time, because she will remember, you know, but he was wearing blue. And I was like, but he was wearing gray when we were talking about my brother's baseball uniform when he was 5, and it was both, blue shirt, gray pants. So wherever our focus lies is where that burns into our memory, and everything else kind of fades away. But we will argue that we're both that we're both right, and usually we are, but we swear the other one has to be wrong without – even though we do this all the time, we never automatically go, well, you know, let's just, you know, it's probably both of us. But because we hold fast to what our perceptions are, to what our truth is, what our reality is as we remember it. And so I find that interesting, because all of that is based on mood. And mood is irrational by design. And, you know, you can look at something now and be happy and it's beautiful, and you can come back to it 2 days from now and be sad and it'll break your heart, you know, or you can find it vile,
right,
or whatever it is. It's magic the way people weave their world on a moment-by-moment basis. And sometimes even that is art.
Right. All right, Hatter, your thoughts.
I thought this was very good. Reminded me of a term I'd heard once. Music is a gift from heaven, and art is a gift from man, or something like that. Yeah, maybe I said that wrong. But, yeah, it's part of what is perceived by art. Yeah, that's a very subjective concept. What makes art, you know, good to some? What makes them valuable is the question. And that's a strong statement in itself. French art compared to the rest of the world. This is very good. It really made me think. Thank you, Francis.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
I think if you exclude religion, everybody would have a different illusion of life. Everybody's perception would be totally different than everybody else's. Religion kind of makes everybody focus in on the same perspective as far as what life is all about. But without religion, there's just so many things everybody would think religion, what life is about, would be a total illusion. Everybody has a different illusion, and the world would just be one big mess. So religion kind of keeps everything organized a little bit and keeps everybody focused on the right illusion. But everybody has a different perspective. They want for religion. I have a perspective, and nobody else has my same perspective. We're all different human beings, my view.
Could they have all generated from one? Or did different sex just, that's man's nature?
Young and old, you'd be older, your illusion changes as you get older, too. It'll be where you're at in life and what you got focusing in on, but it'd be religion, because there's nothing else we focus in on but sex. I like that.
But could it have all of the same one?
You guys are crazy.
I am tickled.
Yes.
It's just an illusion.
And who's the picture
just
of?
Just all an illusion.
Oscar Wilde.
I don't know. Oh, Oscar Wilde.
That's Oscar Wilde. Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought so.
It looks like Lewis Carroll or Charles.
Well, it could be. No, what the heck do I know?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I have no clue. Let's see if it tells me the author's notes. It does not. But yes, it says on the picture there, it's Oscar Wilde.
It is.
Yeah. I'm always surprised when I have a clue. Go figure.
He's deep in thought.
Did he hear you?
I don't know. All right, you guys. That seems like that is the last of our poems. And this was a fabulous show.
Yes, it was.
I can't. Believe it or not, we're done.
The conclusion of the illusion.
The conclusion of the illusions. You guys rocked.
You got this down. You've been doing it.
It was the illusion of a good time.
It was. Rack, I didn't ask you for coming on the last poem. I'm sorry. That was bad.
That's okay. We could talk about it for hours. I would stretch it out because, when you start to try and quantify it, art is subjective. You know, one person's treasure is another person's treasure. Is one person might value it, and another person's going to look at it and go, "That's crap." You know, and he's talking more in terms of paintings than in what you know. I would broaden the definition of art. Like music is art. I mean, listen to a piece by Beethoven. I don't know. I could take this in so many different philosophical directions. But if you want to narrow it to a physical image, that's you know a different way of even looking at it. And again, you know,
shadow puppets are art.
Oh God, I'm not going to be crude. Never mind.
Since we're just energy,
the cubism, yes.
Like in a world after the Renaissance or whatnot, where everything was freaking gorgeous, he comes out with that looks like a 5-year-old did it by comparison, but still, it is art. You know, I'm just saying.
You're talking like
my
17th
over.
Yeah. All right. All right, you guys, I'm going to go because this could go on for like till 5 a.m. in the morning, and I don't have that much time.
I think, since we're all
– You guys rock. I love you all. You guys rock. You're the best of the best. All right, I will talk to you all very soon, and have a great weekend, you guys. I'm sure we got things going on this weekend.
Everybody buzz.
Just have a good time.
You too, sweetheart. Bye, guys.
All right. Good night, everyone. Bye, guys.
Good night.
Good night.